sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And a welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Daily sports talk show Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Glad to be with you. And Rusty popped down by the studio the other day and he said, are you guys still planning to do a daily sports talk show even throughout the summer hours? And I said, I think the only time in the last decade that we weren't a daily show was during COVID. So a little FYI for you there. That's now something you can utilize for bar trivia. But glad to be with you on this Tuesday edition of the program. Jeff Larson, head coach of the Warner Track and Field Squad. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour as his squad is out and about here today. And I would be shocked to see everything not get underway here today. I mean, I don't know what the weather is like statewide, but here in the Hub City and mostly northeastern South Dakota, gorgeous Rob Lookie invite is going on here today. So Coach Larson, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour from that Rob Lookie Invitational. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure on a Tuesday. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing today, man?
I'm a little bummed. I'm a little bummed out. I'll be honest with you. I think last night I didn't necessarily have high expectations. You know, given the fact that you just lose two on your home ice, talking about the Aberdeen Wings, you got to go back on the road. Long road trip number one and a very, very quick turnaround after a double overtime loss on Saturday night. And you have to flush it very, very quickly. Wings played hard yesterday night. They played really well for good stretches of time. They had some problems at times. And at the end of 60 minutes, just a little bit shy, they lose 5-3. So I listened to the game last night on 94.1 The Rock with Cy, and I'm just a little bummed today. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I am too, when you think about it and how that game kind of unfolded. And they played such a tough-fought, hard-fought game. I mean, they come out, they give up a goal early, they tie it, they take the lead twice, and they have an opportunity there in the third period, and I'm sure we'll get into more of this game, but just unable to take advantage of some opportunities and then also make some mistakes that allowed Bismarck to come out with the win. And, yeah, man, that's a tough one, especially when you look at the circumstances. The last two times the Wings have played Bismarck in the playoffs, they've been one win away from moving on to the Central Final, and they've just haven't been able to get it done. They were up 2-1 last year, lost the final two games. They were up 2-0 this year and just couldn't close it out. It's got to be tough for that crew and for the guys that have been there the last couple years. It definitely hurts.
My wife this morning was feeding baby number two, Izzy, this morning, and she said, well, how did they do last night? And I said, they lost 5-3. And she goes, well, it really wasn't that long ago that they won the whole thing, right? And I said, yeah, 2019. She goes, man, it just feels like they've been so close the last couple years. And they're not necessarily close in the fact that, hey, they lost right before the Robertson Cup, but they lose in these excruciating fashions. And to your point, you're up 2-1, you're up 2-0. Feels like you're on the doorstep of that next series, the Central Division Final, and they just can't quite walk through that doorstep and walk through that door frame. It's just brutal, excruciating ways to lose.
Yeah, I mean, you look at these games here this series. Three of them go overtime. That one easily could have possibly went overtime last night. I mean, Bismarck didn't score until late in the third period. Just that game four game is going to be the one that Wings are going to be kicking themselves about. They had it 3-2, the controversial goal there at the end, the tie it, had a chance to win it, and not one but two overtimes. And I give those kids a lot of credit. You know, that game two or that game four overtime loss was tough. I mean, you got to think it was tough. You got a day off Sunday, and then you got to travel out to Bismarck on Monday for game five, and you could easily lay down in that game. And instead, you have a lead and have a chance to win it at the end. I mean, you really can't ask for anything more, but it just – it hurts. I feel like if you're a Wings player, a fan, that one – that series, this is one that it's going to take some time to get over, I feel like.
Yeah, it's going to sting a while. I think there's no doubt about it. And I think the season that the Wings had was very – kind of indicative of, you know, who they can be in the future. I mean, they got off to an incredible start. This is the first time, I think, in program history they swept the board there at the Blaine Showcase. And when that happened early in the season, I was like, they might have something here. And then they had everybody and their brother, even their sisters, they too got hurt. I mean, everybody, it felt like this season was hurt for the Wings, and they finally get healthy. Late down the stretch, they win 11 straight games, again on the doorstep of this thing, and they just fall a little bit shy. So it's going to have some stink on it for sure, and unfortunate, but the season is over for the Wings, and now you basically sit back and you watch Minot and Austin do it, or excuse me, Bismarck and Austin do it. That series went down to the wire there too.
Yeah, it really did, and I think it was Austin. They dominated that game five. I mean, that game really wasn't all that close, and sometimes that's what I mean when I say you got to give credit to the Wings with what they were able to do there on the roads. You know, sometimes you lose that game four and it carries over to that game five. I think we saw that in that matchup with Minot and Austin. Austin was up 3-0 in that game four. They came all the way back. They scored four unanswered, Minot did, to tie that series up. And it was almost like, hey, we used all of our energy to tie up the series in game four. We just got nothing left in the tank for game five. I think that's really what happened in that Austin series. But for this series to have those games go overtime, you're playing extra hockey, that's why you got to give the Wings a lot of credit for how they came out and fought. But I'll tell you, man, I mean, the fact that you get a break with the three in the third period with the five-minute major, and then shortly after there was a double minor for roughing. I mean, that's a tough way to end your season. Then you think you tie the game, but there was a goalie interference. I checked the video on that. I mean, you got to call that. We watched the video. It's an obvious call. They're going to call that 10 out of 10. I'm not saying the officials were good, because they were not. Those refs, they stunk up the joint as far as I'm concerned the last two games. But, I mean, that's an obvious call. You got to make that call on the goaltender interference. And then they come down on the 4-on-4, and you knew the Wings were in trouble at 4-on-4. And why I say that is because Bismarck, just from the two games that I saw in person, I was like, Bismarck's the faster team. Like, you know, I think the Wings match the physicality, the toughness, but once you get that extra guy off the ice, there's a little bit more space for the Bismarck Bobcats to work. They're just the faster team. They got kind of a one-on-one great shot to end that game there for the go-ahead goal. I mean, the screen, it was a tough one for Cunningham because he was kind of screened with the defender, and that's kind of how it ended. But that's a tough way to end your season, just with, like, the scenarios that happen. You think you got it with a five-minute major, then you take a penalty, then you think you tie it, they call it back, then you get another chance at it with a power play, and it just didn't work out. But yeah, like you said, man, it's going to stink for a long time, I feel like, here. You had that one.
You know, you talk about the whole goalie interference, and we're going to get to this game at length in segment number two, but I'm still a little murky on the rules, so I had to do a little bit of a deep dive on this one. I thought contact with the goalie is not allowed within the crease. Mm-hmm. Anytime the goalie gets outside the crease, you know, your feet get tangled up, or maybe there's some contact or something like that, then it's kind of all bets are off. And the way I saw it this morning, you sent me the video, he was outside the crease.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I'm kind of thinking maybe they kind of gave Bismarck a little bit of a nice call.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thought, and maybe that's why I think the outburst came from. You know, I think a lot of people are saying that Anderson, the goalie, initiated the contact, which you go back and look at it, you know, it's one of those, you know, I don't know. It's tough. And like I said, they were right on it right away, though. Like that's the thing. They scored the goal, and I was listening to Cy, and he's like, "Oh, wait a second, they already called it back." So it wasn't like, "Hey, we reviewed it, we saw it." They called that goal back like right away.
I'm watching the replay right now on my phone, and I don't want to say the goalie took a dive.
He might have flopped a bit.
But there's some very, very easily floppage right there. I mean, it's not quite LaFlop James, but, I mean, he definitely threw the hands up, and, I mean, he flicks the puck out of there, and he's darn near behind the net, so.
But they're going to call that every time.
Right.
That's the thing. You got to be smarter than that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think you make a good point with the crease thing, and he's out of there, and it's kind of free game, but the refs are going to call that 10 out of 10 times. Like, they're not missing that.
Yeah, it says, goaltender interference refers to any attacking player who, by means of their stick or body, interferes with or impedes the movements of the goaltender by actual physical contact. While incidental contact with the goaltender may occur, attacking players must make an effort to avoid contact in all circumstances. The onus is always on the attacking player, and players who do not make the effort to avoid the goaltender must be penalized. So,
there you go.
Protection of the goaltender. A goaltender is not quote-unquote fair game just because they're outside of their goal crease. So there you have it there. Penalty under this rule would be called where an opposing player makes unnecessary contact with the goaltender anywhere else on the ice. Likewise, referees should be alert to penalize goaltenders for infractions they commit within the vicinity of their own goal. So, to me, you say 10 out of 10 times. I don't know. To me, I think that's maybe 60-40.
Uh-huh.
Because the way he goes down, I mean, they're going to call it more often than not. 60 is greater than 40 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the flop and the arms flailing.
I mean,
maybe that's the camera angle of the view that
we saw.
That we saw. Maybe the official had a better view than I did.
Maybe you're getting home cooking.
Maybe I'm getting a little home. Yeah, I don't know. There's just a lot there. And with the game on the line, with a minute left to go in the game to tie it up.
And that was my whole thing. I know we'll talk a little bit more about it, but that's my whole thing, too. Like, let's let the teams decide it. I mean, just a lot going on there at the end of that game. I mean, way too much, in my opinion, going on there at the end. Let's drop the puck and let's see what happens.
All right. He's Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Toss this thing skyward here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Again, we've got Jeff Larson joining us towards the bottom of the hour talking some Warner track and field. And, yeah, go back and watch the clip here on your phone. And the way, you know, obviously you got that little button, that little bar at the bottom. You can kind of scroll it. Go back and let me know what you think. And
yeah, I got it up right here.
Yeah, and I guess report back to me. But we'll get into that conversation again in greater depth here in segment number two coming up here very, very shortly. A couple of things that I'd like to get to today, a couple of housekeeping notes. One of them I'm kind of late to the party on. I had liked this tweet when it came out about 2 weeks ago, but had not announced it. Northern State, of course, they got a brand new head coach. Matt Wilbur going to do a nice job here with the Wolves. One guy that he is not going to have to deal with this autumn and winter as well is Caleb Vandegrind. Caleb Vandegrind of Minot State hit the transfer portal. He has officially left the NSIC. He is now going west. They say go west, young man. As he is going way west, he has now joined the Idaho State men's basketball squad. So he's going D1. So no more Mr. Double-Double there in Minot that you have to deal with next
time. That guy was a walking double-double, man. He was a problem in the paint in the NSIC. You could throw anything you had at him defensively. It didn't really matter because the guy was just going to get every rebound. And he had a little bit of an offensive game, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's for sure. So not surprised. You know, sometimes you see, hey, why, you know, Minot fan be like, hey, why is he entering the transfer portal? Well, he probably wants to play D1, and that's what we saw here.
Yep, so he's going out west there. A couple more NSIC players of note. We talked to Luke Gunderson yesterday on the Sports Hub. If you missed that discussion, you can check it out on our website, hubcityradio.com, Northern State linebacker. And one guy that has been outstanding for Augustana over the last handful of years, running back Jared Epperson. I mean, this guy is so, so talented, and he is not going that far from Sioux Falls. as he'll get on I-29, head down to Kansas City. Yesterday, he was officially announced as a rookie minicamp invite there. So Jared Epperson, great running back for Augustana for a lot of years, he is now getting an invite there for the Kansas City Chiefs. So, I mean, could you imagine getting handoffs from Patrick Mahomes? I mean, it's not impossible. Is it likely? Probably not, but you just never know with that path that you mentioned yesterday.
Yeah, you really don't. And, you know, I feel like running backs, too, like you see just a ton go to and from different teams, right?
Yeah.
Like that's one position where you see a lot of carryover and turnover. So, hey, you might get a chance there. And like you said, it might not be likely to get handoffs from Patrick Mahomes, but, hey, if you earn your way and can get on the roster, you never know, right?
One never knows. And finally, this one comes down south from Brookings. This guy was over in Winona State over the last year and change. Luke Hurdle, I don't want to say single-handedly beat Northern State this last year, but he had a great, great game against the Wolves. Winona State transfer. I remember Saul Phillips said we were really heavily in on getting him here to Northern State. Eventually, he chose Winona, and now he goes from Winona to down south in Brookings. He's going to go to SDSU. So Luke Hurdle, the junior from Heartland, Wisconsin, there, transfer from Winona State. He is now going to be a jackrabbit for next year.
Wow. All right. So, you know, a lot of turnover here, and you're seeing a lot of guys. I mean, we always talk about the portal, but another guy in the NSIC who played well and is getting another opportunity to play Division I there in the Summit League. So how about that?
Looking forward to that. Luke Hurdle, 35 points, 9 rebounds against the Wolves last year. 10 out of 14 from the floor, 5 of 7 from downtown, and next closest player had 13. So I say almost single-handedly. It was kind of almost single-handedly beating the Wolves there last year. All right, upcoming next, we're going to get into more discussion about that Wings game from last night. Jeff Larson, Warner Trek and Field coach, he'll also join us towards the bottom of the hour as well, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Up continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Jeff Larson, head coach of the track and field squad down south in Warner, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour as the squad today is at the Rob Lucky Invitational. And today's a perfect day for track and field, and I mean perfect day. I mean, you've got temperatures in the upper 50s before it's all said and done, little to no wind. I'm surprised we're not faking sick right now and playing golf. You know, just go down to
it is golf weather.
Go down to the end of the hall, talk to Brian. Yeah, got a little sore throat.
Got a little spring cold.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to catch me on the back nine at Lee Park or something like that. But nevertheless, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that. And our conversation continues about the Aberdeen Wings and the Bismarck Bobcats from segment one. We're kind of going back and forth a little bit off the air on this video where the goalie interference is called.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things that could have gone one way that went the other way in the series. A lot of controversy, and feels like the majority of the controversial calls went one way. I'm not saying, hey, that's the reason why the Wings lost the series, because they had their opportunities. They had their chances. But the ones that were big, big impacts on the games and ultimately the series, they kind of trended one way, and it necessarily wasn't Aberdeen's.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about it off the air, but that game four tying goal, the goal is off the plugs there, and they give them the goal there. You know, we're going back and forth on that goalie interference. It looks like Anderson maybe flopped a little bit, but, you know, my thing is, hey, they're going to call that. And they did. I mean, there's the roughing call. I mean, how do you get a – my thing is, and I don't know the rules, but 100% of the rules, because it's different in the NHL than it is maybe in junior hockey or college or something like that. But how do you get a four-minute roughing call? I mean, really? A four-minute double minor roughing? You punch the guy in the face? Like, I don't understand how that's a double minor. And that really changed the course of the game. You get the five-minute major – you think, hey, this is it. This is it right here. We got a great chance. I texted you. I said, hey, play like you're down a goal.
Yeah, it's 3-3.
Be aggressive. It's 3-3. And next thing you know, a penalty. But, I mean, you know who really hurt the Wings in this series, too, just from an individual standpoint, is Keanu Kren. I mean, he had 5 goals in this series. 5. 5 goals in this playoff series. He had 1 in the second period, and then he added an empty netter there last night. He scored the first goal, I believe, in game 3. I mean, he was all over the ice. But, yeah, I mean, the kids battled. I mean, you got to give these guys a lot of credit. a rider of many gray horses. I thought he had a great series. He had that goal in the second period last night. He had a nice goal in game four. Bryce Johnson, how about the response from him there last night as well? His third goal of the playoffs. He had an opportunity to end this series in game four. What's he do? Puts one in the back of the net. But you look at the individual, and we talked about this at length when we've been talking about the Wings, but here's a team that just got contributions from everybody, and that's why I think they were in the position that they were at the end of the day. And we talked about that when we won the first two games of this series. So, but I also said this, and this is a championship-level team you're playing in Bismarck. If you remember, I said that after game two. Getting that third one is going to be the hardest. They had their chances and just came up a little bit short.
This is a flop. This is a flop. I'm going back and watching this over and over again. Maybe it's the fact that I'm slowing it down frame by frame, and anything's a catch when you slow it down frame by frame, and is there a little bit of green in between the side? You know, all those sorts of things. This is a flop.
Well, I think the stick just flying out of his hands does it for me.
Yeah.
The stick just going all the way to the corner. I think Anderson's like, oh, wait, I made a mistake here. Shouldn't have left the crease, and then just was like, hey, let's see if I can get a call, and he did.
Man, that's a tough way to not have a tie game.
Yeah.
I mean, because if not for that, we're talking about a 4-4 tie. Maybe we're talking another overtime session there, and, you know, it's just unfortunate. And maybe they got the call right, and maybe they had better views than I have on this one clip. And all of that is certainly possible. But the fact that we're talking about the officiating with about, 102, 103 left to go in a game in which that could have gone into overtime. And heck, maybe the Bismarck Bobcats score one more goal before the end of regulation. Or vice versa. Maybe the Wings win it in regulation.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things, we never found a way to have those answers because we're talking about the officiating here late. And whether it's a good call, bad call, indifferent, I just think that's unfortunate as we're talking about officiating multiple times over multiple games.
Yeah, it's not just this game.
The last two games in particular, with the goal being off with the pipes being off of the plugs.
The pegs. Yeah.
And then you've got this. It kind of leaves a sour taste in your mouth.
It certainly does. It certainly does when you look at it. You had this team beat. You had them beat. You were up 2-0. You had game 4-1. And the goal to make it 3-3 with the goal off the plugs. And then you're up 3-2 in this game. And you have a chance. And it's 3-3 going into the third period. And you have a 5-minute major penalty. Like, you have an opportunity. And then next thing you know, everything went everywhere. I didn't know what was going on. I was confused as ever what was going on down the stretch. So, yeah, man, it's just when you really think about it, the way it was officiated and things of that, it definitely makes you have a sour taste in your mouth when it's all said and done.
And not only that, but you had leads. I mean, it's not like you were down the whole game in games.
Played great.
Yeah, in games 3, 4, and 5, it's not like you were trailing for the entire game. I mean, you had leads in these games as well. Last night in particular, you're up 2-1. You're feeling good about yourself. You had a great play from Jibrakul defensively. Comes in and just gets a sweet shot, finding the back of the rope there. Hey, 2-1, here we go. And then, boom, just like that, Bismarck right back at it. 2-2.
Happened twice.
And that's just it. Then you're up 3-2, and then right back at it is Bismarck. So that's the heart of a champion right there, and you got to give credit to Bismarck there too.
Yeah, I mean, they were down a lot in this series. I mean, the only game they were really in control was game 3. They led the entire game. I mean, pretty much the entire game. It was tied 1-1, but they were really in control, I felt like. That's just me. I felt like they were in control of that game. Game 4, I thought the Wings outplayed them. Game 5, I think it was about as 50-50 as you could get, but you mentioned it. You get up 2-1, you give up a quick goal. You get up 3-2, you take a penalty, and then you give up a goal. I mean, it's just, man, I was just hoping the Wings could maybe get that 2-goal lead. They needed to get it to 4-2. That's the thing. Instead, Bismarck, they had an answer for everything. And then it went 4-on-4, and they got the game go-ahead goal. Man, it's just, it's tough. It's tough. This series, I was into this series. I was into it. And you have a chance to end it, and you don't. It's tough.
It's going to keep those guys, I think, awake a couple of nights for sure. And, yeah, it just leaves a sour taste in your mouth, and I'm right there with you. I mean, man, I was dialed. I was dialed into every single game that I could be, you know, with the exception of Friday night being at Bourbons and Brews. But I'm listening on the radio Saturday night. I'm listening on the radio last night. I mean, I am all in. I'm living and dying at every single shot, and it's difficult when you've got a one-month-old who is trying to fall asleep, and I've got the hiccups, and then you hear Gibber Cool score, and I'm not freaking out. I'm doing everything I can to remain quiet while she's trying to fall asleep, and, man, I was so into it, and that's just the finality about this. I mean, we're talking about a 2-0 series lead on Friday. Mm-hmm. Now on Tuesday, your season's over. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing how things can turn.
Yeah.
It's amazing how it can turn, and you know, Bismarck had to go on the road, win twice, and win 3 in a row. And the Wings were playing about as good as they have all season with the win streak going back home. And this is a classic rivalry series. They're going to be talking about this series for a long time in this rivalry. That's the bottom line. I mean, this was an instant classic series between two teams that don't like each other. Classic.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell. That's such a broadcasting cliche, and we all use it. Oh, these two teams don't like each other. No, but the amount of times these guys are getting into little scraps and little melees, you can tell they really do not appreciate some of the no love lost, no love found.
Like 10 years down the road, you know, a Wings fan who's maybe, you know, in his teen years, like 12, 14 years old, something like that. 10 years go by, he's going to be talking to his buddy. Hey, you remember that series back in 2025? We were up 2-0. I mean I have those conversations.
Sure.
With sports fans that I know. Like my dad and I have those. Hey, remember back in 2009 when the Ravens lost to whoever? You know, we have those conversations. I mean, that's what people are going to, if you're a fan of either of these teams, you're going to be talking about it for years to come.
And why would you throw the ball at the goal line? I mean, seriously, how many times second and goal from the 1-yard line, they got one timeout left, you need why would you throw the ball? Why did you even bring that up? You didn't, but no, that was me.
I didn't bring that up.
No. Just now that we're talking about it. Throw the ball at the goal line. It was a good call. No, it really wasn't. Blast you, Malcolm Butler. Never get over that. All right, upcoming next, Jeff Larson, head coach of the Warner Trek and Field Squad. He'll join us next on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I think we need some help over here in studio, don't we?
Yeah, I'm not doing great.
we're struggling. We are struggling.
Trying to find answers.
Yeah, Coach Langer, we're right there with you. The boys, we're right there with you. Our hearts go out to you. We'll recap next year and tell you what, this is only just fuel for their fire, right?
Oh, yeah, big time.
No doubt about it. All right, head coach Jeff Larson, the head coach of the Warner Track and Field Squad. He joins us on the phone line. Coach, good to talk with you this morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
You know what? We've been better. We're a little bummed because of the Wings loss last night and their season coming to a close. But, you know, we needed a little sunshine here. So we figured, hey, let's call up Jeff Larson.
You bet. Well, I had to look at your number just to make sure this wasn't a Shedeur Sanders kind of prank.
Oh, that's right. You know what? That's not bad. You know what? There were so many. When you were a kid? All right, be honest. Because back in the day, you probably didn't have a whole lot of caller ID back in the day. That's a relatively new phenomenon within the last, 20, 25 years, give or take? I mean, it was just becoming a thing.
I don't want to date ourselves. But
yeah. But you were probably a young whippersnapper back in the day. You were probably doing some prank phone calls, right?
Oh, yeah. We had some "your refrigerator's running" calls there.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly did. I know I gave my buddies a couple phone calls for sure back in the day. But I guess that's neither here nor there. No prank phone calls here on the Sports Hub, but Jeff Larson joining us here, head coach of the Warner Trek and Field Squad, and appreciate you doing this, Coach. You're on location there at the Rob Lucky Invite, and where are your eyes right now? You're a pretty busy guy there. You're coaching, and also you're visiting with us.
Yeah, you know, early on before the meet starts, you can find me at Exchange Zones working on handoffs with the girls or boys and making sure if we dial those in right, those are tenths, 20th of seconds. That can make the outcome when we get to state meet for top 24 times. So very vital in our program.
So do you try to kind of focus on different things when you're at these meets? Like, do you have your focus at the runners, you know, one moment or shot put or things like that? How do you stay, I don't want to say stay focused, but how do you keep focused on everybody that's there?
Well, that is the trick, and my wife always says I'm an expert at chaos, constructive chaos. You know, as long as it's within the area, I can manage no matter how hectic it gets. I got some good coaches. I got some jump coaches that take care of my jumpers and the throw coach that we have. So we've got some great coaches in our midst. I mean, one of them's a state record holder at SDSU for my throw coach, Trevor Bigman. There's very talented around me, so it's not all me.
Fair enough, for sure. And Jeff Larson joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And I'm guessing it's your son Cody that's doing some great things down south there in Jackrabbit territory there in Brookings. Is that your son? And can you kind of talk about him a little bit? I mean, we'll get into the Warner side of things here too, but I saw you've been kind of tweeting about him over the last handful of weeks and months here. Some really, really cool stuff for him down south.
We've had a year of remembrance for sure, and you kind of hold on to these things because you never know, you know, what the next year brings. But, yeah, he's had an incredible year. You know, he's steeple is his passion right now, and he's sitting 11th in the nation amongst all Division I schools, and he's top 40 in the nation for the 5K. So he's had a really good season, and I'm not sure where this is all coming from. You know, he's always had a strong belief of himself, and if he puts his mind to it, like any of my athletes, I try to, you know, portray that. Hey, if you want something, go get it. Set your goals high, and then if it doesn't happen, you just got to figure out how we make that happen the next time out. So, really great year for Cody.
Yeah, what's his 5K time? What is that? My personal best, career coach, is 30 minutes. I'm pretty happy with that. That's 10 minutes a mile.
Yeah.
My guess is his is a little bit faster than that.
Yeah, it's about 13:34.
Wow.
It's really, really good time.
Yeah, no
and
doubt.
He just went down to Drake Relays and ran a 4:01 mile on the medley relay, distance medley. So, yeah, he could – Rod DeHaven knows what he's doing down there, and I'm so thankful that we had other colleges looking at us, and so thankful he kept reaching out to us because him and Cody just – they're on the same page, and it's really good.
Yeah, so does he do a lot of training with the mile then? Is that kind of how he builds up to that 5K then? You're trying to time that all-out mile?
You know, he doesn't do a whole lot. He very rarely gets into a mile or a 1500 race. I think the last time he's done a mile race was 2 years ago. He's just, we had some iron issues. His freshman year, we were too low on iron. And then we did good sophomore. And now this year, or before last year, we went too high on iron. And it's just affected him, and now we're kind of leveling out, and it's paying dividends. Having a healthy body and taking care of yourself.
Is that tuna? Eat more tuna, you get more iron, or is it less? I don't even know. What is that?
I don't know, but I thought it was like vitamins. If you have too many vitamins, you just get rid of it. That could be just as dangerous as not enough. So
okay, gotcha. Fair enough. Jeff Larson joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Josiah Baum off to a really nice start for you guys this season on the 100 and 200 meter side of things. Had some really good results there this last weekend in Ipswich for the Tiger meets there. Another great multi-sport athlete there, great football player. I think he's a basketball guy out there too. What have you kind of seen from him in the early stages of this season?
You know, yeah, I mean, he's running faster than we were last year. Just the maturity with the boys, you know, there's a time that it comes in and they can just move those legs. He's actually a really good quarter miler. We've just been touching the tip of it, you know, just getting him some experience a little longer. He could make it in the quarter if we keep pushing here.
It looks like you got pretty good numbers, you know, just overall, both with the boys and girls. It looks like you have a good amount of girls out this year for Warner Track and Field. You got to be happy with those numbers.
You know, yeah, I started this program, 6 years ago, and I had 7 girls out at that time. And now to have 30-some kids, girls solely is amazing. And Kids are just buying into the program. They realize they can do great things if they just put their minds to it. And we've got a very talented school, and sometimes we're spread too thin, but it's great to see the numbers here.
And sometimes you got guys in the Sports Hub talking to you on meet day and those sorts of things, as Jeff Larson, our guest here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And the Javelin is kind of like the new event, or newer anyway, and you guys are off to a really, really solid start there as well. Is there a whole lot of, interest in that from your perspective this year for your squad?
You know, we had a lot. We did it last year. That was the first year we could do it, and had a lot of success in it with Hunter Kramer and Sarwine and he's on the top of my head. But anyways, we had a lot of great Pudwells. I'm sorry. We had a lot of great ones last year, and now they graduated. So we're really young in the Javelin area. We'll get back there. We've got some talented kids coming up, but it's just going to take some time.
Yeah, so when you're throwing kind of the Javelin, what's kind of the biggest difference when, you know, maybe you're throwing a shot put to a Javelin? Yes, I know you get the kind of the running start with Javelin. You don't get that as much with the shot put. I mean, I'm a novice here when it comes to track and field. I was just trying to differentiate the two.
Well, you know, long arms help. Just because you're a shot putter doesn't mean you're going to be a good Javelin thrower. Our discus have a better shot at it because, again, those long arms swinging that disc. And then it's just footwork, like you said, making sure we don't come to a stop or slow down our rhythm, not try to throw too high, but, you know, not too low either.
Well, it's not like go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's just a different sport, and it's just something else to get kids that, you know, maybe only get one or two events. You know, a lot of, nowadays with the timing system and that we've got going on, a lot of meets are struggling just to figure things out, and so they put limits on the number of people that can participate. And so to have another opportunity for a kid to get an event, it's just priceless as a coach. You know, I want everyone to have a chance, so.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that at all. And obviously, sometimes you get these meets that start up at, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and they can go till pretty much twilight. You know, pretty much till 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. And I was going to kind of make a joke. It's not like in Revenge of the Nerds when you got the one, Javelin that kind of like goes up and down. You know, kind of that different design or whatever. I can't recall.
Yeah.
What was that dude's name that threw it?
I'm trying to think.
I know.
I can't remember. I know it. I got it visually in my head now, but I can't think.
I know.
Dwan or I can't think.
Lamar Luttrell.
There you go.
That's what it
Lamar,
was.
Lamar, there you go.
Yeah, Luttrell, Lamar Luttrell. I think it was Lamar Luttrell. But I don't think we usually make Revenge of the Nerds comments on the show, but I'm glad that we could get that taken care
of. Glad,
here
I'm glad we figured that was a team effort there.
Very good. Very good. Well, yeah, this is what it's all about. You know, it is a team sport, you know, talking about track and field. It's very individualized, but very, very team-oriented as well. And a lot of times, particularly on the girls' side of things, I was looking at this just a few short moments ago. You had a couple gals go pretty much one-on-one in the long jump. You had Katie Mackner and McKenna Leidholt in the long jump this last weekend. Not one-on-one, but they finished 1-2 in that event. How much fun is it seeing players compete against each other that are on the same team? They're almost rooting for each other, but, you know, obviously they want to outdo each other there too.
Well, we just had a big talk about that. I mean, that's the sign of a successful team. If you can compete in your practice and just kind of strive for new marks each time we're up. And those two are actually very young at the long jump. We just kind of threw them in this year, just a couple meets ago. And of course, Katie Mackner, anything she does, she's very, very talented and can do it very successfully, and we got to limit her because we don't want to find out anymore right now. We got enough events. But and then McKenna Leidholt too. I mean, they're both very, very, very talented kids.
We've talked to a good amount of coaches on the track and field, and it just seems like each meet's kind of a building block to where you want to get to at the end of the season, and that's obviously, you know, the State B meet. How do you kind of look at each meet, if you will? Is there something you want to – I mean, here you are – at a meet today, is there something you want to focus a little bit more on this time than you might have not earlier on in the season?
You know, at this point in time, we've got our entries in for Hartwood, and that really dictates us early on in the season because, you know, if we can get relays qualified for Hartwood, it's a success for us. It's really hard for a B athlete to get an individual event at Hartwood. So early on we focus on relays, and now we're starting to turn them loose, focus on individual, start focusing on qualifying for the state meet. So
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure Howard Woods this upcoming weekend. It is.
Yeah.
That's a multiple,
correct. Yep.
Multiple day event there. For someone that's never been there, I mean, we've had Dave Vilhauer on the program, and he talks about Howard Wood. It's kind of has this mystique around it. For a guy that's never been there, like myself, what's one thing about Howard Wood that makes it so special?
You know, the talent. We're seeing the best of the best from four or five states across the Midwest here. We've got teams from Minnesota, Iowa, some Nebraska, North Dakota. And so you're seeing a level of talent, and these kids are really getting pushed to the brink. So it just makes some incredible times. They've got some special events this year. The boys 800 is a special event. And so the top 10, get to be in and really compete against each other. So it's an amazing event. It's a must go at least once. So.
All right, well, I'm looking forward to that at some point in time here in my life. Hopefully I can head down south there on 29 and check that out. If you are going east today to Groton, it's just a straight shot up 281 and then take a right on the Highway 12 there is the Rob Lookie invite taking place here today. Lots of local squads there, yourself included. So appreciate you doing this, Coach. Good luck today, and thanks again for being part of the program.
Thank you for having me. You guys take care.
All right. Likewise to you. Head coach Jeff Larson, busy man here today, a friend of the program. And tell you what, when you are busy but still make time for us, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, much appreciated there, Coach. And you mentioned it. These meets can go a long time.
They can.
Can start early on, and it can go all the way to dusk, it seems like. You know, especially you get the Howard Wood and all those schools. So, I mean, that's a long day.
You almost want to start at like 6 a.m. or something like that because, I mean, you're going not quite around the clock, but pretty close.
You got to think runners especially probably want to start a little bit earlier.
I would think so.
Instead of waiting all day. I mean, that's why those, you know, you got to, those races, you know, if you sign up for like a 5K or something, they all start early in the morning for that reason.
They do. And I have done a 5K or two in my day. And
what did you say, 13 minutes?
Yeah. I was going to say mine's probably pretty much closer to your time, about 30 minutes, you know, 10 minutes a mile, as long as you're finishing.
And that's pushing it for me.
Sure.
I mean, I was going as fast as I could there. Now, in my condition right now, no chance in heck I'm making a 30-minute mile.
Never say.
Or a 30-minute 3 miles.
Yeah, never say never. What's it, 3.1, something like that?
Yeah, 3.18, something crazy.
Something like that. Again, that's the Rob Lookie invite today. Aberdeen Central's there, along with Ron Colley, Christian, Britton Hecla, Frederick, Groton, of course, the host squad, Hitchcock, Tulare, Ipswich, Langford, Milbank, Northwestern, Potter County, Redfield, Sisseton. You've also got Tri-State and the aforementioned Warner squad there as well. So a very, very busy invite, and looking forward to that, as well as the Howard Wood Dakota Relays this upcoming weekend. We'll come on back and wrap up this Tuesday installment of The Hub after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Jeff Larson, head coach of the Warner Track and Field Squad, joining us here on FSA. And we're not going to be over this Wings thing for quite some time. I mean, we're going back and forth watching this thing on Facebook and some of the clips and this and that. And I tell you what, you can look at this a million different ways, and I don't know if there's a right or wrong way to look at it, but a lot of controversy.
A lot of controversy. I'm glad we had Coach on because he definitely brightened up the spirits.
He needed to break that up, didn't he?
He did. He did a good job with that. But just going back and looking at it, man, that's a tough way to end your season. It really is. Just the last two games in general.
Yeah, and you know, going back and watching the clip where the goaltender goes down, or the netminder, if you will, and you know, we're kind of looking at this as best as we possibly can through the eyes of the officials. And you've got one official that's on the back half of the play. You've got one that's on the far side of the ice, and one on the near side here at the corner right by the blue line. And when the contact is made, you know, you don't see anything going on there. And then they kind of...
I'm looking for an official goal. Usually you see the ref point when there's a goal. I don't even see that. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't necessarily think that was the best in terms of the officiating at the end of the game here. You know, you want your best and your brightest out there and this and that and these guys, but I think there just felt like there was a lot of, hey, we're flying by the seat of our pants here.
I can't believe it. Going back and watching it more and more, I can't believe they didn't keep that a goal. Watching it more and more. When I first saw it, and you heard my initial thoughts on it,
right.
But after watching it over and over, I think that might be a good goal.
I think so, too. I don't like it. I don't love it. I want less of that.
It is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, it's just Tuesday morning quarterbacking it, or Tuesday morning netmindering it? I don't know. Nevertheless. All right, Aberdeen Smitty's baseball on the web waves tonight, 5 and 7 p.m. via HubCityRadio.com. Ryan Martin on the call. We're picking up the rare road game there that's presented by Culver's of Aberdeen. 5 and 7 for your first pitches on HubCityRadio.com and on the Fox Sports Aberdeen YouTube page. Back at it tomorrow.